Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It's 9:30 in 716.
A truly surreal news cycle in Washington.
You had a day when the Dow and the S&P finished at record highs. And you had a day when the Democrats delivered for the first time articles of impeachment not based on any law being broken. History-making day.
You know, the circus will go on in the Senate now.
With Chief Justice John Roberts presiding.
He'd much rather be across the street at the Supreme Court. He was hearing cases yesterday, an oral argument. I think he's much more comfortable sitting at the Supreme Court hearing cases than sitting in front of 100 senators dealing with an impeachment of the president.
I'm Tim Wenger on 9:30 and 716. The impeachment of President Donald Trump is the Senate's challenge now. The trial of the House's abuse and obstruction charges getting underway with ceremonial and housekeeping matters that set up the Senate as a court of impeachment. Arguments getting underway on Tuesday. We begin with insight on the man who will lead the process, Chief Justice Roberts, who makes his way across the street from the Supreme Court to the Senate chamber.
Well, my guess is he will follow the pattern of his predecessor, William Rehnquist, who he clerked for when he did he presided over William Clinton's impeachment trial. And he will try and be as nonpartisan and as non-noticeable as possible.
Peter Iacobucci at SUNY Buffalo State studies all things politics and Supreme Court.
I would not expect any major speeches from the Chief Justice. I would not expect him to cause any ruckus on the Senate floor. I think he's going to try and do this as quietly as possible.
You know, it seems like that, you know, in the Clinton impeachment trial, which was 21 years ago, the difference is that this is much more of a contested impeachment trial. Might he not have a choice and may have to take on a more active role than he wanted?
Well, he might, and it really depends on the senators. I think you might see some interruptions from the senators on both sides of the aisle. If the Democrats are not allowed to bring forth any witnesses, I could see some Democratic senators getting upset while the process is going on. But if there are witnesses allowed, I could see Republican senators getting upset and shouting out, yelling. The way it's supposed to behave is the senators are expected to sit silently. And if there are witnesses, they are supposed to present written questions to the Chief Justice, who will then ask the questions to the witness. That's not normal for a senator to sit silently and have to hand off questions to someone else.
Yeah, I kind of think that most politicians are almost incapable of doing just that. So if it does become a little rowdy, or if the speakers are kind of grandstanding, as politicians are known to do, what do you expect Roberts to kind of look like in that chair? I mean, is he going to be active and saying, you know, this is overstepping what you're supposed to be doing here? Or is he maybe just going to sit back, let it happen? Will he put some earplugs in so he doesn't have to hear it all?
I think there'll be a medium in that. I think he's going to try and walk the line of he will correct a senator that is clearly out of bounds, that is yelling, that is trying to interrupt the proceedings. But for mumbling, for a shout out one or two that doesn't get the other senators riled up, I think he'll just let it go, pretend he didn't hear it. He's going to be assisted by the Senate parliamentarian, who is a nonpartisan, non-elected official, who's going to be helping him on rulings, on motions. But for the large part, I think he's going to try and keep it as quiet as possible. And I think both sides, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, would be hurt if they interrupt the process, because I think that makes their side look very petty.
You know, we're starting to see some of the formalities associated with this. Yesterday, the our articles of impeachment that were signed by Nancy Pelosi in a special ceremony, and then they were walked by the House managers over to the Senate. Today, there are two things that are happening. At noon, a reading of the articles into the record, and then at 2, the swearing in of Chief Justice Roberts and the Senate. All senators will be sworn in. Are they jurors, Peter?
They, just like if you were on a jury, you have to be sworn in and take the oath to be completely non-partial and non-biased. And this is an important ceremonial duty to sort of get across to the senators, and the founding fathers wanted this to be part of that, that this is not regular operating procedure. We're not just a partisan battle here. This is supposed to be where you put aside your partisan hats and you listen to the evidence that's presented and then come to a rational decision, irrespective of party.
On, the scale of what a Chief Justice of the Supreme Court gets to do in their term, do you think he's looking at this as sort of a, I don't want to say an honor, maybe that's probably the wrong way of putting it, but as a cool, kind of unique thing that he gets to do in this position because it's only happened a couple times before in history?
I think it is certainly unique that he is asked to do this. But I think John Roberts, if he had his choice, he'd much rather be across the street at the Supreme Court. He was hearing cases yesterday, an oral argument. I think he's much more comfortable sitting at the Supreme Court hearing cases than sitting in front of 100 senators dealing with an impeachment of the president.
Peter, the House managers are serving as prosecutors, and we realized who they are yesterday. They were identified. Do they have courtroom experience?
Many of them do. Not all of them do, but there are 7 that were appointed. Most of them do. Most of them have either been a member of the U.S. Attorney's Office or a prosecuting attorney. All of them, except for one, I believe, has a law degree. So these individuals that have been sent over and picked by Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, certainly know what they're doing. And in several cases, they were involved in the Clinton impeachment. And in one case, they were also involved in the Nixon impeachment. So they have history behind that they can draw on as well.
Most are wondering what to expect in an impeachment trial. These don't happen every day, after all.
They sort of make up the rules of procedure themselves.
Our legal expert, Paul Cambria, on the free-form trial that is about to unfold.
You know, with that many people being so-called jurors, that clearly is different. There are a number of different people who will be so-called managers. My guess is the Democratic senators, obviously, will be pushing for certain witnesses and questions and all the rest of it. There'll be a lot of posturing, a lot of speeches, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, just how it unfolds. I think the end result's pretty obvious, but, you know, the circus will go on in the Senate now.
I mean, it's kind of going to be a spectacle, right? There's no talking in the Senate, no open talking, only written questions, and no use of cell phones.
Yeah, again, they make up, you know, they make up the procedures and the rules. There will be, I'm sure that there will be opportunities and they'll be taken for speeches. Roberts, on the other hand, has the opportunity to control the proceedings to a degree. It'll be interesting to see if he asserts himself there and keeps it from becoming just, you know, one more set of speeches.
Yeah. How does somebody in that position, I mean, you're the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, you're probably used to a certain level of decorum. And, I don't need to tell you, we've listened to all these politicians speak before and kind of go on. We saw it in the hearings leading up to where we've gotten so far in impeachment, that they kind of just tend to go on and do their own thing and talk in ways that you might not be used to in a courtroom. At some point, when does Roberts go, okay, that's enough here? You know, what are we getting down to, what we're supposed to be getting down to?
Yeah, well, that's the unanswered question at the moment, as to what he's going to do, how he's going to run the proceedings. You know, recall when Rehnquist was the presiding judge for Clinton, you know, he came in and all of a sudden had a different robe with all these chevrons on the side and so on. And it was sort of interesting. But, yeah, talk about a difference between the Supreme Court. You know, I've argued several times before the U.S. Supreme Court, and that is about as traditional and serious and staid and so on as you get. So, yeah, this will be a big shock for Roberts.
Paul, how similar and how different is this going to be from the Clinton impeachment trial of 21 years ago?
Well, I mean, it should be similar. Why wouldn't it be? I mean, that's the only precedent we have, really. A number of those senators were there and participated way back then. And it should be similar, but, you know, who knows?
That is kind of the big question that everybody has. Who knows how this is going to look? But in the end, you're talking about these senators being jurors, and they're going to be sworn in to be impartial jurors. I'm guessing that doesn't really mean a ton at the end, though. I mean, when you're looking for a juror, you are looking for someone who's going to be somewhat impartial, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the theory. But, you know, I've seen many cases where lawyers on both sides really aren't. They're looking for people who are going to vote their way. And, I mean, that's the practical aspect of it. When you're picking a jury, you know, theoretically you want objective people. On the other hand, in reality, you're just looking for people who are going to vote your way.
And the House managers in this case, they are, most of them are attorneys. They will be the prosecutors for this trial.
That is true, but a lot of them who are attorneys by education only and really haven't practiced. We get a lot of that. When somebody goes into politics, it's rare that they were, you know, stunning trial lawyers in their career and then they became senators. So, I think it's, you know, you're going to see Democrats trying to make speeches, Republicans trying to make speeches, Roberts trying to hold it all together, and in the end, you know, they'll vote by party. There'll be a couple of defectors on each side, and I don't think they're going to convict him.
So not exactly something you expect to be shown in law classes around the country.
Oh, yeah, not a chance. No, totally different world.
And then there is the politics of it all, an impeachment trial in the Senate and before the court of public opinion, and likely being held at the same time the president is to deliver his State of the Union address.
He's already been issued the invitation and the date set. Now, there are some people arguing that he should postpone that.
The political aspect of it all with Carl Calabrese.
I think that could be a work in progress. We'll see. But knowing Donald Trump and Donald Trump's personality, you know, he's an in-your-face combatant. He may relish the opportunity to go into the legislative chambers and probably say something in his State of the Union message about the impeachment.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would maybe expect him to want that opportunity. Looking at the impeachment trial, we're kind of talking a lot about how this might look with the Chief Justice John Roberts presiding. And how exactly he's going to handle, you know, going from the Supreme Court hearing, you know, seasoned attorneys, hearing these, you know, well thought out arguments from lawyers to going and now hearing arguments amongst politicians. Do you think we'll see him get annoyed at all on the bench? How do you expect to see that?
No, I think your previous guest hit it right on the head. I think he's going to follow the precedent of Justice Rehnquist when he was in that role. He's going to defer a lot to the Senate. He'll, you know, he's still Chief Justice, and that comes with a lot of prestige and authority. And, you know, if he gavels something out of order or reprimands someone for an outburst, which I don't think is going to happen, you know, that carries weight. And I think everybody is going to attempt to be on their best behavior during the actual proceedings. When they go outside and address the television cameras, then the gloves come off.
But comparing it to the Clinton impeachment trial, is that really fair? Because this may be a much more contested trial, right?
Well, it may be. Remember, Bill Clinton was actually charged with breaking laws. Lost his law license over it. Was disbarred. This is the first impeachment in history, in our history, where there are no laws broken. There is no such law as obstruction of Congress. There is no such law of abuse of power. And so that is his history making in and of itself. And by the way, I thought yesterday was a history making day. We had Donald Trump sign a trade deal with China, which begins, and I stress the word begins, a new rebalanced relationship with the country that's going to be our biggest and strongest and most dangerous rival over the next 20 years. You had a day when the Dow and the S&P finished at record highs. And you had a day when the Democrats delivered for the first time articles of impeachment not based on any law being broken. History-making day.
Perhaps a strong indication of the mood and atmosphere inside the Beltway and political vault that is Capitol Hill, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is being criticized by the White House for handing out pens that she used to sign the articles of impeachment against President Trump. Doling out signing pens on more celebratory occasions is a Washington tradition. President has done it himself. Pen recipients sometimes frame and hang them on their walls as symbols of their proximity to power. Pelosi signed the articles on Wednesday, handing out the black pens to the chairman and the House prosecutors who played a role in ushering the president's impeachment through the House. White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham says Pelosi was serving up pens on silver platters.
That's 930 in 716. We're back tomorrow with another edition from the studios of WBEN Buffalo.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.